Even during that time, there will be some who resist the Antichrist and resist the worship and resist this takeover. And their names are written in the book of life. All those who haven't will capitulate, but there will be some who resist. And just as the devil's plan in the last days is to raise up two men, God's plan throughout history is to give the world one man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
The book of Revelation shows you that there are dark times ahead for our world, but you can have faith that this darkness won't stand against the light of Jesus Christ. Today on Connect with Skip Hightick, Skip looks at the hope you have as a follower of Jesus, no matter what the future holds. But first, Skip wants to invite you to check out an exciting new project from his wife, Lenya.
It's hard to make sense out of everything going on in the world. That's why I'm excited to announce the launch of my wife Lenya's podcast called All the Things. Journey with Lenya and her co-host, Lindsay Maestas, in this unscripted podcast as they learn about different issues, engage in fun conversation, and tackle some pretty hard-hitting topics. Subscribe to All the Things today, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you, Skip. God is using your generous support to bring friends like you closer to Christ. One listener recently wrote, "Though I experience Jesus in my life, I need to know the empirically verifiable things to bolster my faith too. I love the Lord and am so grateful that He's left so much in history and creation to draw us to Him. I'm also grateful you consistently incorporate great morsels of truth to point to Jesus Christ. Stories like these are possible because of you. Your gifts help connect more people to the truths of Jesus. So please give now at connectwithskip.com/donate to keep drawing others closer to Christ. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Or call 800-922-1888. Again, that's 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Now, we're in Revelation chapter 13 as we dive into the teaching with Skip Hightick.
Because the economy will be so bad, we've already discovered during that time, millions, even billions of people will die on the earth through a number of things that happen, including starvation. People's vulnerability will be at an all-time high. They will be willing to do anything if it means feeding their families, their children, etc. And so the incentive behind this is that you cannot buy or sell unless you take a specific mark. We don't know how that's going to turn out exactly. It could be much like the city requires a chip to be placed in your pet so they can keep track of it and tell the history of it. That could happen with humans. Now, for years, prophecy buffs and Bible commentators have all thought that the empire that will rise at the end of days, the revived Roman Empire, they have said, is probably going to happen in Europe, and they have even said with the European common market, the 10 nations at one time. Now there are many more coming and going in the common market. But for years, people have looked for a leader to come, a secular leader out of the European nations, because they say geographically that was the old Roman Empire, the continent of Europe. But let me suggest a different direction and a different way to look at that this morning. When we talk about the revived Roman Empire, here's what we have to discover. You know, that whole idea came about with the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel chapter 2. Remember, he saw the polymetallic image, head of gold, chest of silver, stomach and thighs of bronze, and two legs of iron, which represented the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire that ruled the world at one time. But then there were 10 toes of iron and clay, and they say that is the revived Roman Empire. Just like the 10 horns that are mentioned in Revelation. 10 toes, 10 horns. We can see the similarities. However, just like there were two legs on that statue that did speak of the Roman Empire, did you know that the Roman Empire, like the legs, split in 395 AD? That there was an eastern branch as well as a western branch of the Roman Empire, and that the western branch died out pretty quickly, but the eastern branch lived on for another 1,000 years, And its headquarters was Constantinople, modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. Now, here's something else to realize. When we talk about the Roman Empire that ruled the world, including Israel, etc., Europe, etc., what most people don't realize is that 60% of the Roman Empire at the time of Jesus Christ, the time of the New Testament, 60% are lands that are today occupied by Islam. Most of the landmass of the Roman Empire today is occupied and controlled by Muslims. Now, I understand something. It is not fashionable, first of all, to even talk about this in church. It is certainly not fashionable or politically correct to talk about this in the public square. It is fashionable to lump all religions in one little basket and say they're all the same. And whether it's Christianity or Judaism or Islam, it's all the same God with a different name. And it's fashionable to get the coexist bumper sticker and stick it on your Subaru and happily go down the road. However, what is fashionable is not always biblical. And I think we need to not only look at the Bible, but look at what's happening around the world at this time in our history and make a different suggestion. Do you know that today there is an Islamic revival like never seen before? And do you know that the revival in this country, conversions to Islam, have gone up and up and up since September 11th, 2001. It's quadrupled. Before September 11th, 2001, 25,000 Americans every year converted to Islam. Since 9/11, over 100,000 Americans every year convert to Islam. Those are the going rates. Islam will pass Christianity as the world's largest religion in less than 20 years. According to one source, one half of all global births will be Muslim by the year 2055. Now, as you look at the news, I hope you do look at the news. I hope you read it. I hope you listen to it. Have you ever wondered things like, why am I hearing so much about Islam? I guarantee you have heard more about Islam in the last decade or 5 years even than you have your whole lifetime. And you wonder, why? Why am I hearing so much about it? What's really happening in the Middle East? What's this deal with ISIS? Are they done yet? What's this idea of a caliphate I hear about? I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say and listen carefully to the news that is coming out because you may be looking at the future. Now, that's what we know. We know what we have just stated. Antichrist is coming, false prophet is coming, don't know when, don't know who. Let me give you a second category. This is what we're told. This is what we are told by the fastest growing religion in the world, Islam, about the end times. Did you know that Islam has an eschatology? Let me back up. Do you know what an eschatology is? Eschatology means the study of last things, the doctrine of last things or end time events. We have an eschatology. The Bible tells us what's going to happen in the end of days. Did you know that Islam has an eschatology? Most Christians really don't know much about Islam, and few Christians know little or nothing when it comes to Islamic eschatology. They have an end time scenario. Lately, that eschatology has been leaking out on the news with events like San Bernardino, California, and Brussels, Belgium, and Paris, and ISIS beheadings. And now this talk about a caliph and a caliphate. By the way, the caliphate is a real deal. There's a land occupied by ISIS today that is larger than Great Britain. It is controlled by them. And it is growing in that part of the world. So Muslims look at you Christians and they have a name for you. Well, they have several names for you. But one of the names, the polite name for you, is you are people of the book. We are people of the book. Jews and Christians are called by Muslims respectfully people of the book because we hold to the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. So we are people of the book. However, our books have been corrupted. The Old and New Testament were original words that have been corrupted by Jews and Christians, so thus the only reliable source of revelation is the Quran. And Muslims have two sources for their authority. The Quran, which they say are the direct words of Allah, and the second is the Sunnah, sometimes called the Hadiths. And the Sunnah are the words and the works of Muhammad the Prophet. So between the Quran, the words of Allah, and the Sunnah, the words and works of Muhammad, they develop their authority for everything. According to Islamic theology, they see the end of days as being ushered in by three great signs. Three great signs. And all three are in the form of a person that is coming. Three persons. The first sign, the first person, they say, is the Mahdi. The Mahdi. M-A-H-D-I, if you're taking notes. The Mahdi is equivalent to the Messiah. The word Mahdi means the guided one. He is also called the awaited Savior, the Lord of the Age, and the 12th Imam. What will the Mahdi do? What will their awaited Savior come to do? This is what he'll come to do. He'll set up a new world order, an Islamic caliphate that is civil, political, and spiritual. He will lead a world revolution to establish Islam throughout the world. Throughout the world. They want nothing less than world domination. And what if we refuse? What if anyone refuses? Here's their source. Quote, Mahdi will offer the religion of Islam to the Jews and Christians. If they accept it, they will be spared. Otherwise, they will be killed. End quote. How will the Mahdi do this? Through a massive army called the Army of Black Flags, and a series of holy wars with his army carrying black flags. He will lead the Army of Black Flags to conquer Jerusalem and kill the Jews. This is all their writings. Then he will establish rule, erecting black flags in the Temple Mount at Jerusalem. And they call the Temple Mount Haram al-Sharif. That is where he will set up his headquarters. The black flags have one word written across it. Punishment. It's interesting, is it not, that not only does ISIS carry the black flags, but the Iranian army carries the black flags. Both are waiting, as all Muslims in any form have an anticipation that someday the Mahdi will come. Now here's what's amazing. The Mahdi, according to them, will make a peace agreement with the Jews and the West, whom they call Romans. And what's most amazing is the time frame for this peace agreement. Just take a wild guess. 7-year peace agreement. They say the Mahdi will come, make a 7-year peace agreement with the Jews and with the West, aka the Romans. And they even have him riding in on a white horse. Their writings say, as it is written in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Coming to conquer and conquering. So to sum it up, the Mahdi is a messianic figure, an unparalleled leader. He will take control of the world. He will destroy all who resist him. He will invade many nations. He will enact a 7-year peace treaty with the Jews. He will conquer Israel. He will massacre the Jews. He will establish Islamic world headquarters at Jerusalem. He will come on a white horse. He will rule for 7 years, and he will be loved by all on the earth. Does that sound familiar? Sounds like what we've been studying. That's the first sign. The second sign following the Mahdi is that Jesus will come. Yes, they believe in Jesus. Muslims believe not only in Jesus, but they believe in the second coming of Jesus. I dare say far more than some Christians believe in the second coming of Jesus. They believe he will come again. He will return. They call Jesus Isa al-Masih. They say Jesus will come, but you know, to them, Jesus was just a man who didn't die. He didn't die on a cross. That's a myth, they say. Jesus didn't die, and if he didn't die, he didn't rise. And if he didn't die, he didn't make any atonement for sin. So what did he do? He was spared from crucifixion, and he ascended into heaven like Elijah the prophet, and is standing alongside Allah, waiting for Allah to send Jesus back to the earth. Why would Allah want to send Jesus back to the earth? He's got a lot of prophets to choose from. Why Jesus? Allah is going to send Jesus back to the earth to correct all Christians who have misunderstood who he is. He's going to come back, they say, as a radical Muslim. Imagine that. Jesus will return as a radical Muslim and help the Mahdi institute Sharia law on the whole earth. They say he will come back to abolish Christianity. Their words, to shatter or to break crosses. Why shatter crosses? Why break crosses? Because Jesus wouldn't crucify, they say. They have him coming from heaven, holding the two wings of two angels. He'll descend to a minaret east of Damascus at the time of Muslim prayer. The Mahdi will then ask Jesus to lead the prayer. Jesus will refuse to lead the prayer, standing behind the Mahdi to show that the Mahdi is greater than Jesus. They say Jesus will be the greatest witness on the day of judgment against non-Muslims who believe that Jesus was God. He will also kill, I'll give you his name and then I'll explain his name in a minute. He will also kill, Jesus will kill the Dajjal. The Dajjal. He's written about in many hadiths, many writings. The Dajjal is Muslim's version of Antichrist. Then Jesus will get married, have a family, die, and be buried next to Muhammad. That's how it goes down. So two signs so far. The Mahdi is coming. Second, Jesus is coming to correct everybody and enforce Sharia law as a radical Muslim. And number three, the third great sign is the Dajjal is coming. He will try to vanquish Jesus and the Mahdi, and he will try to reign over the earth. Now, the Dajjal's full title is Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal, which is the Messiah, the Deceiver, written about, as I mentioned, in many different hadiths in the Sunnah. The Dajjal will come as a miracle worker, a false miracle worker. He claims to be Jesus. He claims to be God. He will attempt to stop the Mahdi, and he will be a defender of the Jews. Well, it's pretty easy to see that the Bible's Antichrist is Islam's Savior. And the Bible's false prophet is Islam's Jesus Christ. And the Bible's returning Christ is Islam's Antichrist. In the very least, this should be sobering to you. In the very least, this should pique your interest. Especially since Daniel chapter 7 said, this coming world ruler, Antichrist, will intend to change times and law. Times and law. The Muslim documents say that when Mahdi comes, he will throw out all human constitutions, including the U.S. Constitution, and enact a worldwide Sharia law. He will also change all the calendars back to the right calendar, the Islamic calendar, following the migration of Muhammad from Mecca to Medina. It's just interesting that the Antichrist intends to change times and law. So, first category, what we know from the scripture. Second, what we're told. But let's end with a third, what we hope. And what we hope takes us back to verse 8 of Revelation 13. I want you to look at it as I read it. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Now watch this carefully. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Now that verse implies that even during that time there will be some who resist the Antichrist and resist the worship and resist this takeover. And their names are written in the book of life. All those who haven't will capitulate, but there will be some who resist. And just as the devil's plan in the last days is to raise up two men, God's plan throughout history is to give the world one man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that was God's plan since creation. Notice at the end of verse 8, the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. And there is a book of life, by the way. I don't know if your name's in it or not. Do you? Do you know your name is in it? You can live with assurance. And one thing you should make sure about above everything else is that your name is written in that book of life. And you know, Christian, if you receive Christ, if you come to Jesus, if you're not a believer, your name can be written in the book of life. If you are a Christian, it's already written there. And you can live with the assurance, you see, the assurance that when you die, you're going to be in heaven because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, the sad thing is that Muslims live without assurance. Ask a Muslim, do you know for certain that when you die, you'll go to heaven? They can't say yes. They believe in a God that believes in abrogation. He can change his mind from one day to the next if he chooses. So they never live with assurance. There's only one way a Muslim can be assured that he will go directly to heaven. That's by losing his life in the cause of jihad. If he does that, in whatever way, whatever even twisted way, that guarantees that Muslim eternal heaven. Here's what you need to know, however. Yes, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. But do you know that there are people around this world in Islam whose eyes are being opened and they're coming to Jesus Christ? Do you know? Here's from one Muslim sheikh who said, in Africa alone, there are over 6 million Muslims who have converted to Christ. That breaks down to 667 per hour, or 16,000 a day. Many of them who have been illiterate are now starting to understand as the Quran is being read to them in its fullest and the hadiths are being read to them in the fullest. They're seeing the true face of their religion and they're turning to Jesus Christ. I've spoken to many of them in the Middle East. Now, this is a kind of a message that could either produce fear or faith that overcomes fear. And I hope it will be the latter. Muslims are not the enemy. Muslims are not the enemy. Satan is the enemy, and his lies are the enemy. And how do you fight lies? With truth. That's how you fight lies, with truth. And what is the truth? John gets a vision of heaven, and do you remember? He sees people from every tongue, every tribe, every nation gathered around the throne, worshiping God, worshiping the Lamb. Every nation, in my estimation, means every nation. I think every means every. It means every Arab nation, every Muslim nation. There are some who overcome and give their lives to Christ.
That's one of Skip's messages from the series, What's Next? Now we want to share about an exciting resource that will help you dig deeper into the book of Revelation.
Predicting the future with 100% accuracy? No one but God is even close to being able to make that claim. And yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
I want you to think of prophecy as being an aspect of one of God's great attributes. God is omniscient. He knows everything. And because he is omniscient, one of the aspects of his omniscience is that he knows the future in advance and can write about it, can predict it through his prophets in graphic detail.
Take the guessing game out of the future with Skip Heitzig's newly reprinted book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, now including helpful illustrations and a study guide. Get your copy when you give a generous gift of $35 or more to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig. Just call 800-922-1888 to give today. That's 800-922-1888 to give today. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer.
Listeners like you play a vital part in this ministry. Your generosity makes an eternal impact by helping connect so many others to the truths found in God's Word. If you've been impacted by this radio broadcast, Consider giving a one-time gift today or making a monthly commitment to help other listeners like you find spiritual nourishment through biblical teachings. Just call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as Skip Heitzig considers five aspects of Jesus' return and shows you how you can be prepared for everything to come.
We know that the tribulation period will be a very bloody scene, a very horrific scene, but it gets better, and the better part happens when Jesus comes back. He's going to end all that has happened on the earth. He's going to tell the politicians, "Move over, boys and girls. I'm going to show you how it's done." And Jesus will take over the earth that he himself created.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his wound. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.